Can you just get through that giant question mark, that painful relationship, that terrible financial situation, that issue with your family, the issue with your child, the issue at work, that thing that pains you, that thing that tests you, that thing that makes it so steep? If you can get this principle, it got me through literally one of the most dark, difficult, exhausting times of my walk with Christian faith and walking with Jesus.
If you hit like because you genuinely like this video, it will actually recommend this video like a Bible tract and place it in their path and their feed.
Okay, I'm coming to, at this stage, a very, very steep section. You'll notice as we go higher and higher, the truth is, there's a balance all the way up between very, very difficult sections and some that are quite pleasant. It's a bit like that railroad track video I did, where I show that the sufferings of Jesus Christ, although they flow into our lives abundantly, so also do the comforts of Jesus Christ. And I find another parallel here on the mountain where I'll have these very, very difficult steep sections. And I see them and I dread them. And then when my lungs start to burn and my knees are putting out maximum effort, my quad muscles and hamstrings are on fire, demanding more and more oxygen, despite the fact that the higher I go, the less oxygen I'm getting per breath. This is the same parallel to your Christian life and my Christian life. There are days that are steep, very steep. They're no fun at all. It takes what seems like all the joy out of being a Christian right out of it. Just like going on the heights here, these hills would seem to take away all of the joy of getting to the top. You string a couple of these together, and now you're starting to write a song of discouragement in your heart. And it's the exact same thing in your life. And I want to tell you a secret that I believe God in the Holy Spirit just gave to me one day. I had never heard anybody say it. It just came to me at a time about 2 years ago when I was having such a difficult time with my faith walk, with the situation with Lisa and New Zealand, and it was very, very steep, very steep.
Today's the 21st of December, and I feel like a wretch. I've just come back from a run, my first run since the whole time Lisa's been here and then now left. And last night, I went into what I would feel as a bit of a crisis in my heart and just feeling so melancholy the last 2 days. And then last night, started having these thoughts of despair coming into my heart regarding my relationship with Lisa, feeling like I've lost her, like she's died. And she is experiencing melancholy as well, which makes me feel even more, which actually contributed to the early sensation of being disconnected from her and getting used to having her ripped away again. And as pathetic as it seems, because it is pathetic for a Christian to feel this way, apart from Jesus Christ's enabling grace, this is what a wretch I am. And so last night I was in prayer with Lisa, crying out to God I hoped that I would wake up today, feel better. I do not. I do not. I feel, wow, am I down. The day I put up the video about the warrant was yesterday. And, you know, I'm not sure if this is a spiritual attack or if this is Father's supremely wise humbling again and bringing down before lifting up. I was disappointed this morning. I'm feeling totally in the flesh. I'm not having too many thoughts. It's just an overall sense of just being very down. And on the beach, I just said, oh God, my heart is in your hands. Only you can keep me and sustain me. And I've thought of Charles Spurgeon. When I feel this way, I've thought of Charles Spurgeon, how he struggled with depression. And I think that I finally know what depression feels like after almost my whole life of never really knowing. And I've had a few bouts where I feel for sure that's what perhaps secular psychologists would call it. And of course, I know it's just the withdrawal of God's grace for a time in the seasons and the dark and the shadows and the lights and the constantly moving experiences of being a Christian and the mixture of dark and light, bitter and sweet, flesh and spirit. And you know, the thing I said to Father, I just am reminded of what a wretch I am apart from his spirit. I said, oh Lord, this beach has nothing for me. Here I am walking on this lovely beach. Some people would give anything to come to the beach. In fact, a lot of people do, as evidenced by the people out there this morning on vacation. And I said, the sand, the freedom, the beautiful sky, the sun's kind of just now breaking over a cloud, these have nothing for me. And I said, only you can lift me up. Only you can make me happy. I'm not able to reason myself out of it. I'm not even able to faith myself out of it. I mean, I'm not in a panic. Faith holds firm no matter what you feel, realizing that feelings are completely fickle. They're rarely factual, and you don't make decisions out of it. But perhaps this is, again, the need for a constant reminder of who we are apart from Christ, that in us dwells no good thing. And I tell you, I have such evidence of that when I feel like this. It's absolutely wretched who we are. How you can be on top of the hill and then the next day just feel like gloomy clouds. It's like I feel almost exactly as it looks right now. I should take a video. There's this huge, big, long cloud that's looks like trying to cover the sky coming off the ocean, and it's kind of at an angle and it peaks over towards the north, kind of descends down towards the horizon as it moves south, and then the sun is just barely trying to struggle. In fact, I'm going to get a video of it right now. This is a bit of how I feel right now. It's like the light of faith is there. It's small, but it's hidden behind this giant, perceivable, visible, right in your face block of cloud. And that's exactly a good illustration of how I'm feeling. And it's been like this all morning. You haven't seen any sun. And even still, as I'm sitting here, the sun is not able to break over that cloud. It's like the cloud, as you can tell by the light on my face, the light should break forth and shine on my face and blind out this video, but it's not, because that cloud is moving in sync with the light and blocking it. And it's been like this for the whole time I've been out here. And this morning I said, oh Lord, I'm not going to fight this. I don't have the energy to fight this. You have to lift me up. And I find myself remembering, okay, this is not going to last. You've been here many, many times. This is not going to last. It's just a moment. And you have to remind yourself, the sun will shine again. I mean, this is what all the poems and the streams in the desert are written about. It's what so many of the great Christians that have gone before us have written about and encouraged us in and experienced, that this is the ebb and flow, the bitter and sweet, the dark and light that this life down here has. And these are those moments where God touches our happiness to liberate us from the world. I see so many imperfections, as wonderful as my marriage is with Lisa, beyond words. But I see how even it, with our physical health, you know, the mental ups and downs, struggles in our faith, the amount of grace we have or don't have, the 8,000 miles in distance, you know, the 17 hours in time distance, 18 hours, whatever it ends up being, depending upon the time of year and depending upon where I'm at in the United States, these things all contribute to add bitterness to the sweetness, balancing it out. And again, it's a reminder of this is not our home. And I definitely have felt this uncontrollable sadness to have my wife taken away. It seems like the last time she went home, she was the one that was depressed and felt like life's not even worth living. And now it's like, feels like me. I'm like that. I don't say that life's not worth living, but I mean, and she wasn't, you know, to the full extent either. It's just that when you take away that sweetness of daily fellowship with your spouse and the daily bread of affection and the companionship, and it's just a beautiful thing, and to fellowship and pray together and think about and talk about God together. And we had such a wonderful time, and to come down off of that is a crash. Man, is it a crash. And whether you want it to or not, it's like, I have faith as a man of God to know, okay, don't put your hopes and things down here. I'm the one that picked the date for her to go back. I'm the one that's always said, oh, the Lord will have his way with us and he'll be good to us and he'll put us back together and he'll restore us and all that. But yet the part of me that's natural, that has a reaction, whether I want it to or not, is reacting. I cannot control how I feel. I can control how I act out of my feelings, but I can't control how I feel. And I can try to get myself out. I've had a good time reading the word this morning, just back in the Gospels. And I think I started reading in the 22nd chapter of Matthew, maybe actually even before that. And just started really reading again and soaking in the words of Jesus, and just really reading slowly, reading some commentary, and but yet nothing that lifts my spirit. It's amazing to me. Like, why isn't God lifting my spirit today? Why isn't he allowing me to feel that joy? And why is my soul so downcast within me? I have, by faith, the greatest thing that a person can possess, trust in God, a hope for heaven, the living Christ inside of me, and yet the Lord allows it to be like this. He allows it to be like this, and it's for our good, and boy, how I desire heaven. And just, you know, here it is still. The sun has never come out, and you can still see it radiating. Just the tip of that cloud is just radiating and laced with a bright lit lining, where that sun is trying to come out, but the cloud is beating it. The cloud is staying just ahead of the sun. It's just incredible. There's no light change. It's exactly the same as it was. Just such an incredible illustration. Like, I've had to remind myself this morning of that incredible experience I had out here 3 or 4 days ago, the first day back after Lisa left. Where I'm standing here, the whole cloud's total thick covering. And it just opens up above my head. Slowly, I see this blue light, and then it just opens up. I've already captured it in the recording. Just as I look up, there's just this little break, some light in the midst of all this darkness. It just broke through. The whole morning has been so solid gray, and then suddenly, while I'm standing here making my journal entry, this cloud just kind of opened up through all the multiple layers. And if you look down over here, you can see it's just very dark. This is really just amazing to me, to see how this whole sky has just opened up right in front of me, where it was just total darkness this morning, rain, and now it's like this blue sky is just opening up right here before me while I'm making my journal entry. This morning has just been an amazing experience, where this hole opened up right above my head, and I'm getting to see this amazing blue sky and the sun trying to get ahead of those clouds. I just want to add this quick clip to show, when I mean surrounded by clouds, I mean surrounded. You can see through these condos, there's the clouds over there. You can can see right behind the clouds there, right behind those clouds, it's clouds, the whole area. There's clouds, clouds, clouds. I'm standing on top of the rail. It's kind of dangerous because it's pretty windy. But here I am, still standing in this amazing opening. And here comes the sun, breaking forth from those clouds of the ocean. This has just been so gorgeous this morning to see this happen. Praise God in heaven.
But that was amazing. That was totally amazing to have that experience. So I'm going to end this now, and I'm going to just persevere. I've prayed. I've given it to the Lord. I cannot do anything else. I'm just going to remain quiet and lowly, and I'm going to go about my work today with God's help. Man, I do not like how this feels. I do not like how it feels going inside that condo. Here I am in a condo right on the beach, and I cannot feel it at all. I might as well be in a dungeon. That's how it feels. Like, I have this beautiful beach right here before me, and the sun. Again, people give anything to come and see here. It means nothing to me. Nothing. It's as if I'm in the desert sands, you know, or Death Valley or something. It's just incredible. Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us. I know that He will. Now I have to fight to remember all the promises and the providence. But I can't fight against my feelings. There's nothing I can do to change it, so I'll end it there. It's getting boring talking about it.
5 hours later, Lisa, having no idea that I had made this video, sent me a text saying, "Wow, baby, Streams in the Desert for December 22nd is a perfect reflection of what you're going through and what I also went through when I left you the first time and came home." Lisa is a day ahead of me in New Zealand, so I had not yet read the 22nd. It was remarkable timing to read about the dreadful darkness that came upon Abraham. But then I was amazed when I read the author's words, quote, "Human life is made of brightness and gloom, shadows and sunshine, and dark clouds followed by brilliant rays of light," after I had just recorded something so similar in this very journal entry. And of course, I know it's just the withdrawal of God's grace for a time in the seasons and the dark and the shadows and the lights and the constantly moving experiences of being a Christian and the mixture of dark and light, bitter and sweet, flesh and spirit. And you have to remind yourself, the sun will shine again. I mean, this is what all the poems and the streams in the desert are written about. It's what so many of the great Christians that have gone before us have written about and encouraged us in and experienced, that this is the ebb and flow, the bitter and sweet, the dark and light that this life down here has. Just as I look up, there's just this little break, light in the midst of all this darkness. This whole sky has just opened up right in front of me, where it was just total darkness this morning, rain, and now it's like this blue sky. Human life is made of brightness and gloom, shadows and sunshine, and dark clouds followed by brilliant rays of light.
And while I was walking in prayer, begging God to give me relief, I had even been experiencing fatigue in my body to the point where I could barely walk down the street and not have it be taxing. I had a difficult time praying. It was terrible. I mean, get an example. I don't know if you can see. You won't be able to see how steep this is, but this is steep. You can never see it in the camera, and it's very difficult. So when these moments come, like this one, It's like the Holy Spirit just said to me, just win the day. Just win the day. My dear brother or sister in Christ, so much weight that kills us in Christianity is all of the inclines, all of the steepness, all of the altitude, all of the twists and the turns and the difficulties and the mysteries and the what ifs and the wins and the hows that lie ahead of us. And when you're down and when you're depleted of spiritual energy, the last thing you need to be thinking about is tomorrow's climb. You have to be thinking only about winning the day. It's just exactly like Jesus Christ said. Do not worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own. I want to pause. I want to tell you how real. This is not some bumper sticker. This is not some anecdote. This is not some cliche. These are what Jesus said. His words are spirit and they are life, and you can believe them and trust them and they are true. You don't need to ever worry about tomorrow. You just need to win today. I ask you, can you win today?
When I think about Jesus dying on the cross for my sins, I'm just so grateful. And I know that His mercy is fresh and new every day. So when I wake up, I go to His throne room and I just ask Him, Father, give me the mercies for this one day and it will be enough.
Can you just get through that giant question mark, that painful relationship, that terrible financial situation, that issue with your family, the issue with your child, the issue at work, that thing that pains you, that thing that tests you, the thing that makes it so steep?
What has happened in my life through all the sufferings, and I truly went through a lot, and it would take me hours to speak about what I went through and the breakdowns and just all the sufferings, deep sufferings and losing. I lost people. I lost a lot. But all of these things, they only hurt my flesh. They humbled me, but they made me seek Him more, lean on Him more, rely on Him more, depend on Him for every need I have. And He was faithful. Even if we didn't have anyone, He is faithful. He will provide for all our needs step by step by step. Every step we take with Him, He will be there and He will provide for all of our needs, no matter what they are, emotionally.
You could see my feet, like where I'm standing right now. There is such an incline. It's so steep that I am actually getting a very nice calf stretch standing here. Brothers and sisters, we only have to win the day. Put it on your bathroom mirror. Put it on your car dashboard. Put it on your refrigerator. Wherever you see it, maybe your bedroom vanity mirror. Put it wherever you will see it and you will remember it and you will say, I only need with God's help to win the day. I don't have to worry about tomorrow. I don't have to worry about how I'm going to pay that bill a week from now. I don't have to worry about how it's going to feel the next time I face that person or when I have to go to work or when that illness comes back or when that symptom returns. I don't have to worry about that. I have to win the day. And I tell you, when I was going through one of the most difficult, steep climbs during this waiting period with Lisa and I, before I was going to get to Though He Slay Me and reach the summit, praise you, God. Before I was going to get there, I was going to have to go through a time where it was a chant every day, win the day, win the day. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Each day's trouble is sufficient for itself. Be in today. That is the sovereign God who is in control of all things telling us, you don't have to go there. Tomorrow's there, but so am I. Don't go there. If you can get this principle, it got me through literally one of the most dark, difficult, exhausting times of my walk with Christian faith and walking with Jesus. It literally was that motto, that thing, like you can imagine a swimmer who says, just keep swimming like Dory, or just keep going. You just keep saying, I only have to win the day. I only have to win the day. My Lord is in tomorrow. I only have to get through today. And that makes it so much more doable. And then what you find is after you've done a couple of days, they start to add up. And one day becomes another day, becomes another day, becomes another day, becomes another day. And before you know it, we're up much higher than we ever expected. How did we get here? We didn't have enough energy for it. We were really perplexed. We were worn out. We were ready to quit. But here it comes. Day one. Day two, one. Day three, one. Day four, one. Day five, one. Day six, one. And before you know it, you are much farther. Brothers and sisters, it's time for me to hit stop. Keep going. Please believe this principle. It works. You hold on to this in combination with all the other things that we keep talking about, like staying spiritually hydrated every single day, no matter how it feels, no matter whether you perceive your thirst or your hunger or not. You get in that word, you get in those devotionals, you keep yourself hydrated and only win the day. If you're suffering, can you win today? Can you go 6 more hours? Can you go 8 more hours? Can you go 10 more hours, 12 more hours, 15 if it's the beginning of your day? Can you go a few more hours to win the day? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. And it may not literally be tomorrow morning when joy comes, but I will tell you this, fresh mercy to win the day will if you stay hydrated. God bless you in Jesus' name. I'll see you in the next one. You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure He has to see you and I conformed into His image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, He had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.